It's time once again for Insight with Jack Stogler on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
It's not Jack Stogler tonight. It's I'm just here with Rocker in the corner hiding, and he'll be around later with some of his another top 10 list or something.
Yep.
Okay. Something that we can argue with you about.
Hopefully.
Oh, good. That's always the best. And we welcome Tony Lefevre from the library.
Good evening.
How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. How are you?
Well, not too bad. I think we're in a little bit. We're going to start talking about the book fair that you have going on at the library right now, yep. All of this week, during regular library hours.
Yeah.
And we'll also be the extra day of the Christmas open house on Sunday. So that should be good. That's always been a very good thing for you guys, hasn't it?
It is. It's a neat opportunity to be part of the community, even though we're not a business, but we're still open to the public. So.
Yeah, and you do all kinds of neat stuff there. And one of the neat things that you do the last 10, 12, 1500 years, whatever it's been, is the Fort Festival of Trees.
Yeah, this is year 17, actually.
Is it? Yep. That seems like 3 years, and you think about it again, you think it's 50. So,
yeah.
So that's always something that everybody looks forward to. It's such a neat thing. And we'll get into those kind of things. So how's things going with you and with the library?
Oh, things are going great. We're super glad we've been back to pretty normal business activity here the last couple of months. COVID obviously had an impact on everybody, but we've been able to do a lot of our normal traditional programming, and it's been great. Things are going very well.
Good. And we'll kind of maybe hopefully touch on some of the programs that you do weekly and periodically and things like that, and anything new programs for kids or adults that you might have coming up, and we want to talk about all the things that are going on with the library. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a little bit with Tony Lefevre, and we'll talk about library stuff.
Hi, this is Zoe from Brick Street Tavern, and we have some great nightly specials for you. On Tuesday, you can get special prices on our famous wings and draft beers. Wednesday night, get $3 off of any of our large pizzas. And Thursday, you can get our tenderloin basket. On Friday and Saturday evenings, we offer a sirloin steak or all-you-can-eat chicken that both include our salad bar and your choice of potato and a dinner roll. Stop in and see us at Brick Street Tavern for some great home cooking.
Need a better job where the benefits are great. A family-friendly company with competitive pay. Where people stop and greet me when they see my smiling face. Cooper Farms. It's more than a workplace.
Locations in Van Wert, Fort Recovery, St. Henry, Rossburg, and Coldwater. Start at $15.25 an hour for full-time production. Flexible options available too. To apply, visit CooperFarmsJobs.com. Cooper Farms, it's more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. I'm inviting you to come and see the new Endurance line of litter spreaders from Salford BBI at K&L Tractor. These spreaders are available in pull type and truck mount models and are designed to be the toughest, most durable spreader in the market today. The Endurance wide swath litter spreader is designed with the poultry grower in mind. With Salford BBI's rugged design and construction, you can more efficiently spread your materials, saving you time and money. Come see these remarkable spreaders from Salford BBI today at K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Elf, the musical presented by the Jay County Civic Theater, is coming to Arts Place Wednesday through Saturday, December 8th through the 11th. The cast will include numerous local adults and students, including Fort Recovery Band Director Reed Knuth, starring as Buddy the Elf. Advance sale tickets are $8 for children and $10 for adults and can be purchased at Arts Place at 131 East Walnut Street in Portland, or you can just call them at 260-726-4809. Tickets purchased the week of the show will be $2 higher. You don't want to miss Elf the Musical, starring our own Reed Knuth as Buddy the Elf, coming up December 8th through 11th at Arts Place in Portland. Get your tickets now.
That should be interesting, shouldn't it? The Buddy the Elf is our own band director, Reed Knuth.
Yeah, I think I hear tickets are going like hotcakes. They're already talking about some maybe sold out shows. So,
ooh, that's really good.
Yeah, they do a really nice job over there at the Civic Center, Civic Theater.
They have several people that might not have been anything they ever thought they would be doing as far as running this whole operation.
Yeah.
I'm thinking mostly of Ray Cooney, but he's dragged other people in, and it's turned into quite a crew of people that really do great things for creativity for adults and especially for students.
Yep.
But it's a good way for adults to do some things too, but it's really good to have students doing things. And I think when Mr. Knuth was on a few weeks ago, he was talking about, what did he say, 20 people from Fort Recovery or something on it besides himself being Buddy the Elf. But you were saying off the air that that your gang isn't going to have couldn't get it into your schedule to do 2 months of practice.
No, you know what? It's such a fun thing to be a part of, but sometimes you have to say no to good things just because life is busy, and it just didn't work into our schedule this year. But I know that crew is talented, and it's going to be a lot of fun to go see. So,
worthwhile. Yeah, those are always pretty neat. Everything I hear about it from anybody that goes to any of the shows that they've put on, it's just you're thinking, oh, we're going to go see a bunch of kids goofing around like a third grade play, trying to do something over their head.
Yeah.
And these are people that are doing an excellent job of things. So, well, we're really through with Insight now. We talked about Buddy the Elf.
Yeah, Buddy the Elf's coming quickly with Christmas. Christmas is coming much quicker than I was prepared for.
Yep, and Christmas open house this weekend.
Yep.
Thursday night, Friday, Saturday, Sunday from 11 to 4. And so kind of tell us about what the library is doing for the open house and things that are going on that day and this week.
Yep, this week leading up to the Christmas open house, the Friends of the Library is sponsoring our annual Scholastic Book Fair, which is primarily children's books that are published by Scholastic that you can purchase. They make great Christmas gifts. There are some stocking stuffer ideas there too, but it's a great program. They bring all the materials to the library, and then the proceeds, the profits from the book sales, go back into buying new books for the library for circulation. Mm-hmm. We'll also be giving away some books because we have a special guest, Pete the Cat, who, if you're familiar with him, is this big blue book character cat that does all kinds of things. He goes to school and he has a special lunch and he wears these groovy slippers and shoes. Mm-hmm. And he's just a neat children's book character. But Pete the Cat will be walking around town to kind of promote our Scholastic Book Fair. And then, so Sunday,
will that be Sunday only when he's walking around?
That will be Sunday only. Mm-hmm. Yep. Sunday only. If there is inclement weather, he'll be at the library for the kids to visit and take pictures with. But otherwise, Pete the Cat will be walking around town. We will be open from 11 to 4 with our book sale being open, but you can also check out books and movies and any of our library materials that we have. The Fort Pioneers 4-H Club always does a service project every year at the library, and they do a story time and craft for the kids. No registration is required. It's from 1 to 2:30 at the library, so the kids can stop by and enjoy a story and pick up craft, and we just, in general, have a great time.
Yeah, and whenever I kind of am roaming up and down the street and looking in places, or sometimes I go in, but sometimes I'm just looking in. Library's always busy.
It has
on that Christmas open house, especially Sunday. And until last year, it was always just Sunday. Of course, I guess last year we weren't that busy because we didn't have electricity.
We were just talking about that. Rocker and I were trying to remember why we didn't have power for the first, 2 hours, hour and a half of
I can't remember what
Christmas
it was.
Open house, but it still ended up being a nice day.
Yeah. Know? Yeah, but so as far as the book fair, what kind of books? Is it all kids' books? Is it?
Mostly kids and up to young adult books. Mm-hmm. So Scholastic has a publishing area that they have lots of different book characters that they're known for publishing. Mm-hmm. Picture books, board books, on up to chapter books for young adults. So it's kind of a variety of things. But they also have, you know, pens and erasers and bookmarks and posters and that kind of stuff that you mm-hmm. can buy as well. So if you're not looking for something large, maybe just something to finish out your Christmas list, there's mm-hmm. options there too.
Yeah, so something everybody can use. And yep. so just grab them. And if you haven't started using them yet, put in somebody's stocking.
Yep, yep.
So the book fair, what's the cat's name again?
Pete the Cat.
Pete the Cat.
Yeah, and he's blue.
Blue
cat. He likes to use the word groovy, and he carries a guitar sometimes with him, and he's just a really neat book character that's well-known. He kind of, you know, Clifford is still a very popular character, and
yeah.
we've had Clifford in town. We've invited him for past Scholastic book fairs as well. He wasn't able to come this year, but Pete the Cat is kind of like the modern-day Clifford. The kids are very, very familiar with this character, so
that's good.
Yeah,
so that's awesome. So the library just seems to always have stuff going on.
We try. Yep.
And this winter is going to be one of your big events that's gotten I think it started really strong and just got better every year. I don't remember any year that when people just weren't raving about what was going on. Maybe the first year or two they weren't, but it seems like every year it started off great and has gotten bigger mm-hmm. Every year, more and more people coming by. So kind of tell us about the Fort Festival of Trees and how you would put a tree in, who can, who's allowed to, how you go about doing that,
sure.
and then when it's going to be held. So give us the, we got 45 minutes, so give us the details
I'll try not to take 45 minutes to talk about that, because we have a lot of other things, but.
Well, okay.
The Fort Festival of Trees is a really great program that was started. This is our 17th year. It was started by the Friends of the Library. I think Sharon Zeringer might have been one of the large catalysts for having this program. And it started as an opportunity for organizations, families, individuals, businesses to put up a Christmas tree. You bring your own Christmas tree to the library and decorate it with a theme.
Does it need to be a live tree? Is it allowed to be a live tree? Can it be kind of whatever?
We actually prefer no live trees.
Fire hazards. Yeah.
You know, I think that we probably would be okay. You know, the chances of having any issues would be very slim, but we just prefer the artificial trees just for safety's sake. But
yeah.
mm-hmm. We have any size tree, 3 foot up to 7 foot tree that people are welcome to bring. We've even had some wreaths, and they've been decorated in all kinds of neat ways. You know, it's amazing what mm-hmm. people creatively can come up with. Last year's winner, we have patrons and visitors to the community come in and they view the trees and they're allowed to vote on their favorite tree, and we call it the People's Choice Award. And the winner of the People's Choice Award gets bragging rights. There's really no incentive offered for it. It's just great to be part of the event. And then they get to put their name on, we put their name on a plaque that's displayed at the library to indicate who the winner of the Festival of Trees was. Last year was the committee for the Morvelius Opera House. They did a beautiful tree with mm-hmm. a small diorama of the stage. And it was just gorgeous. And so that was the People's Choice Award for last year. So anyone can be part of our Festival of Trees.
And they can have more or less any kind of theme they decide they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in the last year or two or three, and maybe they've done it a bunch of years, I think I remember Cheeseman Trucking having yep. a truck, delivery style of tree that yep. had all kinds of neat stuff on it. Then all kinds of businesses, J&M's had things there. And,
yep.
And
the lumber company in the past, JR Manufacturing. You know, I'd hate to start listing businesses because I'm sure I'm going to forget some. But lots of businesses have taken the opportunity to put trees up into the Festival of Trees, and it's a great way for them to participate in community events, but also advertise for their business.
Yeah, even if it's, you know, like JR Manufacturing, you know, we can't just go out there and buy something from them. It's not a retail business,
right.
But good. Getting their name recognition
right.
is a really good thing, and good community vibes is a really good way for a business to be seen as somebody that's
active and involved.
Yeah, active, yep. involved in the community and contributing
yep.
something back.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's with some of the owners that are creative and can do stuff, and other times it's some of the just regular employees that go in and say, I can do that, and,
yep.
and show off some really good decorating skills. And you know, I believe there's also been some, has there been some elementary kids classes that have done that, or am
yes.
I thinking?
Nope, you're right. In the past,
I know they used to do that at the museum.
Yeah.
They used to do a big tree with all kinds of stuff. I was thinking there was one at the
yep.
Fort Festival of Trees.
There have been a couple of classes, grade levels, that have participated in it. The library itself, last 2 years ago, we offered a day when the kids were out of school. Elementary kids were invited to come to the library and make mm-hmm. ornaments, and they made two, one to leave at the library for a Christmas tree and mm-hmm. one to take home with them. So that was kind of fun too. You know,
yeah.
they could come and have some ownership in the Festival of Trees, and it just was a neat way for them to participate. We've had churches, we've had local organizations, the Knights of Columbus, Lions Club, Psi Iota Xi, FFA has done one in the past. Different, like I said, churches, organizations,
mm-hmm.
and then individual families have done some in memory of a loved one or in honor of a loved one that, you know, just because they enjoy doing it, or it's a family thing, you know, grandma and grandkids get to do something
yeah.
together or whatever. So it's just a really neat community tradition that
mm-hmm.
we hope continues. We realize people are extremely busy at Christmas time, and there's a lot of things that go on. It takes some extra effort, but we really do appreciate that people support the community event, and it is a lot of fun. We have lots of people that come in specifically over the Christmas holiday when they have family gatherings to bring family members in to come see the trees and vote. It's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. It's and the trees are all, you know, really neat,
mm-hmm.
and especially when you see that there were kids involved, and I can't remember who it was, several years ago I saw that a family or might have been a class or something, and I saw a kid's name on there. I saw him later, and I said something to him, and he was just so proud
mm-hmm.
that somebody knew that he had done something like that. It was
yep.
just one of those things where they realize that somebody knows that they're doing something,
yep.
and they're proud of that, and they should be, because it's they're even if they don't understand it yet, they are contributing to our community, even though they spent a half an hour making a little paper ornament or something that
yep.
isn't necessarily anything beautiful, but it's creative, and they're getting started at doing stuff and feeling like that they're involved in doing good things. So,
yep. And I think people forget sometimes that the library is, it belongs to the public, you know, so
yes.
for your kids to understand.
It says it right in the,
it is,
in the name,
library.
Fort Recovery Public Library. It says
but,
it.
You know, you forget that you're part of it. You're part of what makes it successful. And for these kids to know from a very young age, hey, this is a great way for me to be involved. This is something I can contribute to. This is something I can be a part of. It's just really important for kids to have that ownership. So it's a lot of fun. We really are extremely happy to have the Fort Festival of Trees every year.
Yeah, they're and people just like it a lot. And it's just, and as you said, it does bring some extra people into the library. So, well, let's see. Are there? You have the book fair that, you know, and the Fort Festival of Trees. Those are two big events that happen this time of year. What other kind of things do you have that happen, events or certain types of activities that happen other parts of the year?
Sure. Well, we have some regular events that happen on a regular basis. We have two book clubs that meet at the library monthly. And usually we take some time off in the summer because of vacation time and stuff. But there is a book club that meets on the first Wednesday of the month at 10:30 a.m. And the great part about our library is we're able to get multiple copies of books through our library consortium, which means we belong to this organization that shares materials from over 100 libraries in the state of Ohio. So you never have to buy a book to be part of the book club. We can request those in for you. So it's a book club discussion that happens once a month. We order in multiple copies of the book. You read it and come and discuss it. And that particular book club that meets on Wednesday morning, several of the members, whoever wants to, can opt to go to a local restaurant for lunch afterwards. It's just a little bit more social time.
Uh-huh.
And then we have a book club that meets on the third Monday of every month from August through May at 7 o'clock p.m. at the library. And it's the same thing. We just request books and we have a discussion over it. And it's an opportunity to read maybe an author you might not normally pick up. Both fiction and nonfiction, and we just have a great time discussing and learning more about each other, but learning more about, you know, different styles of writing and different books and stuff too. We offer a story time in the
those book clubs, those are adults.
Yes, those are adult book clubs.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I know that the school offers some of their own book clubs, and so we didn't want to infringe on any of that. We haven't done anything.
That's almost like a sign-in homework.
Yeah.
Kids don't need more of that.
Yeah.
If they're doing it at school, they don't need
to
also
do have a couple of book clubs that meet through the school, so we don't have one for use currently at the library. We do offer a story time, though, for babies through preschool age during the months October through April, twice a week. Tuesday nights at 6:15 and Friday mornings at 10:30, where we do some stories and crafts, sometimes songs. Occasionally, we run a six-week-long session of music time where the kids do a lot of finger plays, action songs, using small instruments like tambourines,
mm-hmm.
bells, egg shakers, that kind of stuff.
Yep.
We don't have a current one running, but we're hoping here in the early winter to run another six-week session of that. That's about it for normal activities. Then we try to run pumpkin painting annually, where the Friends of the Library sponsors that event. We buy a bunch of pumpkins locally, and the kids, for a small fee, or if they're a member of the Friends, if their family is a member of the Friends of the Library, it's free. They can come in and paint pumpkins, take those home with them. So mm-hmm. all the mess is contained at the library, so mom and dad don't have to worry about making any messes at home. They just get to take the finished product home.
And the kids get to be around a whole bunch of other kids and see other ideas of what to paint, and it's good social time, but it's also good learning time about, you know, maybe if you've done that at home some, maybe everybody always tries to paint jack-o'-lanterns.
Yeah.
But somebody else may be painting football teams, and somebody else may be, you know, there's a whole bunch of different techniques and things that you can catch different ideas, and all of that leads to more creativity. So.
Yeah, and that's a lot of fun too, because, you know, we'll see a lot of, you know, like, let's say my sister and I have kids the same ages. A lot of families bring their kids at the same time.
Yeah.
It's great cousin time. It's time that they can just, the moms can just kind of relax and enjoy what the kids are doing. You don't have to worry about the mess. The kids get time interacting, you know. So it's just a really neat event that we've done.
Yep.
Oh gosh, I don't know how many years now, but it's an annual event. We also do an event that's more family oriented called Unlock the Box. And I don't know if you, have you ever heard of the escape rooms that are trendy right now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's kind of like an escape room in reverse. It's a themed game time where there are four or five locks on a box and they have to search the room, for clues to find out how to unlock those locks. They may be word locks, directional locks, number locks. One, there's, you know, maybe a key hidden in the room somewhere, mm-hmm. but they have to figure out the clues to get into the box within a certain amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually do have one of those coming up. Those are free. We recommend 6 to 8 people. Usually,
so you try to make your own team
on up. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Third grade on up. It can be a group of kids. It can be a family, and we have opportunities for you to come in during the day. So we'll schedule this around Thanksgiving time when the kids are out of school, so mm-hmm. that there is an event for them to come to. It's called, let me see if I can find in my notes here, unlock the box. It's called Turkey Trouble. And it will be held at various times during the day, November 24th, 26th, and 27th. And that is a lot of fun event. They get 45 minutes, and they get a clue to begin the event, and then they search the room. They search puzzles. It may be figuring out a word puzzle. It may be finding a flashlight and showing some hidden clues or things like that. But they've got 45 minutes to get into that box and see if they can solve the problem.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Let's take another break here real quick, and we'll be back in just a little bit, talk about more library stuff.
Sounds good.
Back in just a minute with Tony LaFever.
Klingtern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingternandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingtern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
The versatile Kubota B-Series is a do-it-all tractor. Run powerful attachments that can be easily switched out. It features a hydrostatic transmission and is simple to maintain. The Kubota B-Series. It makes the hard work look easy. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo.
Your local Kubota dealer is Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
It's time to eat, and you don't have time to make supper. Just call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274. Everybody can get what they want, whether it's their great sandwiches, fried goodies, subs, salads, or their awesome pizza. Just call them and they'll get it ready for you, then just drive through and pick it up. And it's time to start thinking about reserving lanes for a holiday get-together or birthday party. And don't forget their awesome pizza wing and salad buffet every Friday at lunch. They open at 3 Monday through Thursday and 11 a.m. on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Be sure to put their number in your phone so you can call them with one touch. 375-4274. Miracle Lanes, great food and lots of fun. Come and shop for Christmas at the library. The Scholastic Book Fair will be open at the library Monday, November 8th through Saturday, November 13th. And books can also be purchased during the Merchant's Christmas Open House on Sunday, November 14th. Support the Friends of the Library through this fundraiser and get great gifts for Christmas. Be sure to get to our library this week for the Scholastic Book Fair all week during their regular business hours, plus Sunday during the Christmas Open House. Public is invited to participate in the Merchant's Christmas Open House Bake-Off on Saturday, November 13th during the Christmas Open House. Get your favorite recipes out and start baking. There will be several categories, including cookies, cupcakes and muffins, pies, and miscellaneous. And each winner will receive a gift certificate to a local merchant. Get your entry to the Morvilius Opera House on Saturday, November 13th between 9:30 and 12:30. If you have that special recipe that everyone loves, get it baked and ready to go on Saturday morning, November 13th at the Morvilius Opera House building.
And that bake-off we were just discussing is last year and probably this year. Our friend Rocker here with us was a judge last year and will probably be a judge this year. So if you know some of Rocker's good tastes, things that he likes, bake them up, and he'll give them good grades.
How did you get that job? That sounds like the best job in the world.
I don't know, but it works.
It works for him.
Yeah.
Sounds like a great job.
Well, he's got to figure, he probably knows some pretty good stuff. So
I bet so.
So we're back here on Insight talking with Tony LaFever from the library, and we've talked about the book fair that we just heard a promo about right before the bake-off. Talked about the Fort Festival of Trees. Talked about some other things. Other Other things we have coming up. I think we were getting ready to talk about one before we went to the break.
Yeah, actually, I was just finishing up talking about the Unlock the Box event that we would encourage families to register for. It is the escape room in reverse, where you're trying to get into a box to figure out all the clues and solve the riddles before your time runs out. Those dates for that event are November 24th, 26th, and 27th, which are days the kids have off school. Mm-hmm. It's at no cost. We encourage groups of 6 to 8 people to come in, and it's called Turkey Trouble. So, you know, I'm thinking it has to do with Thanksgiving, but it'll be a whole lot of fun. So call the library at 375-2869 to register for those events.
And you're allowed to walk in and register.
You can.
While you're renting books.
Yeah, please come check out books or magazines or, DVDs.
Yeah,
while you're there, register for those events.
Books on, do they still call it books on tape?
They do, but they're books on CD.
Yeah.
And we still do circulate quite a few of those.
Mm-hmm.
So, while you're at the library checking things out or coming to read a newspaper, you don't even have to check anything out. We do have newspapers available, magazines available, that you can just come and relax for a little bit and enjoy. And while you're there, check out what we've got to offer.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the other neat things we did this fall was we received some money for distance learning because of COVID. So we were able to purchase STEM kits from a company called Kiwi Create. And they were two different STEM kits. One was like a colorful chemistry kit, and you learned about mixing colors and reactions between substances and stuff. And the other one was you had to build your own crank flashlight. My son and I did that, and I'm not 100% sure we were successful at making it work all the time, but we did have a good time. So it was just a really neat program that the library did to provide some distance at home learning, make and take STEM kits that we did earlier this year.
Now, the make and take STEM kits, that is the what we usually think of as STEM, the science, technology, engineering, math.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yep.
So it deals with one of those things. Yep. Each kit has it doesn't do all of does it try to incorporate all four of those?
Well, these kits actually had like the colorful chemistry had 4 or 5 different activities. So it was learning the science part of the colorful or the chemical interactions.
Mm-hmm.
It was, if how much of a portion do you put in together? So it was a little bit of measuring, which I would, assume kind of is more of the math aspect of it. Then the colorful or the crank flashlight was more engineering.
Mm-hmm.
You had to kind of figure out the circuits. But the neat part about these was they came with little booklets, not only telling you what the experiments were, but it explained the process. Like, so on the circuits one that we did with the crank flashlights, and I am not an engineering-minded person, but it kind of explained, okay, if you move this circuit from here to here, here's what happens. And if you move it here, then it won't work anymore. Try it. And it kind of walked you through. So it was a great learning process as well. And that was one of the things that was kind of a result of COVID. We're hoping to do something else like that in the future where we were able to give those out at no charge to patrons, but more of a, we'd like to offer you an opportunity to learn something, experience something at home instead of, at the library every time. And now we are pretty thankful that we can do a lot of in-house stuff, but it was just an opportunity to kind of share some programming that kids could do at home with their families too. And it was just a lot of fun.
Yeah, that sounds like pretty neat thing. I kind of saw some stuff about that online. I thought that's pretty neat that somebody's actually giving stuff so kids can do that.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. Yeah. Hopefully we'll be able to do that again in the future. So I'm trying to think of anything else large that's coming up right now other than our Festival of Trees, which we would encourage anybody to be a part of.
Yeah.
So I would like to know by Thanksgiving, if you're interested in putting a tree up. The decorating happens the week after Thanksgiving, and then the Fort Festival of Trees event actually opens up December 6th and runs during regular library hours through December 31st, and the voting happens then. So any organization, family, individual, club, student group, anybody that would like to participate in the Festival of Trees just needs to let me know.
You and 4 or 5 buddies,
yep.
or
yeah.
You know,
Yeah, it's so much fun. And it doesn't have to be elaborate. It really can be anything. We ask that you put lights on because we do turn the lights down in the room. And the Christmas lights are just gorgeous in that room when there's so many together. I think last year we had 18 trees. And it's just a really neat display. Mm-hmm. So anybody that would like to be a part of that, we encourage that. It does not cost you anything other than whatever materials you put into the tree. And I would love to talk to anybody about being part of that. Mm-hmm. I just need to know wreaths. By Thanksgiving. Wreaths we have done the past few years as well, which has been a nice addition because not everybody really cares to decorate a full tree. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've had people bring in wreaths with small themes of, you know, anything Christmassy, anything that means a lot to them, angels or nutcrackers or whatever, you know, anything can be decorated on it. And we do ask that you put a little theme title to it, put some Christmas lights on it. We even have the easels to hang the wreaths on so you don't have to worry about how to display it and bring it up to the library.
Yep. Sounds great. Everybody ought to be doing that.
Yeah.
Except for me, because I'm my...
Oh, Neil, you could do it. Fort Recovery Radio needs one.
Well, I would have to have Courtney take care of that for me. she's a little better at decorating. Than I am, but she's very busy also. So services that the library has. Did we talk on the air about like the tech help?
We have not yet. Yep.
I know we talked about that before.
Sure.
So if somebody needs help with figuring out how to do stuff on their
iPad, phones, laptops, mm-hmm. We did at one point in time have kind of a regular organized time that we would offer people to come in. Really, it's just kind of whenever it's convenient for you, if you wouldn't mind giving us a call just to make sure that we have the staffing. But we've helped people set up new phones, troubleshoot iPads. You know, we're not major IT or engineering pros or gurus by any means, but we have been able to help, you know, with some mm-hmm. some issues with iPads, setting up email on the iPad, laptops, logging into the computer, looking up information, printing out resumes. We've done quite a bit. We did some things for people with the unemployment through COVID, you know, helping set up. And there are some limited things. We don't want to interfere with any of your personal information, but we do have opportunities and services that will help with mm-hmm. Computer and technical support.
Yep. And so we kind of touched a little bit on when we were talking about items you have, like online books.
Uh-huh.
And we talked about the books on tape, which is really CDs. As far as online mm-hmm. books, is that done kind of the same way the library is, or do people buy the books from you? Or
nope, everything is free. So we have a program that is through, it's called Overdrive for Libraries, and the app that you can download, or you can do it without an app if you have like a Kindle device.
Mm-hmm.
The app is called Libby, and we're happy to help with that as well. That is a service that we offer to help download that.
And that's kind of a play on library?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. But it's a free app, Libby, Libby. And you can download free ebooks and audiobooks on your phone, your tablet, your computer, your laptop. Mm-hmm. It costs you nothing. You use your library card and we do assign a PIN number to you,
mm-hmm.
A 4-digit PIN, so that when you log into your account, they know, you know, you have an identification and log in there. And the books are available for either 7, 14, or 21 days. And the great thing about Libby is that when the due date comes up, the item automatically gets returned. There are no late fees. There's no stress. There's no overdues, anything like that with it. So you can download audiobooks and play them when you're running or walking or in your car. People download ebooks to their tablets when they're traveling or just at home. And again, it's a free service that is offered. There are sometimes some waits because a lot of people aren't aware that ebooks work very similar to how a physical library works, where you actually have to purchase a license for every digital copy. So some more popular titles may have 200 digital copies available. Some of the older titles may only have 200 purchased copies available. because they are licensed to be then copyrighted, mm-hmm. you do have to pay a small fee as a library service. But as a patron, you get those for free, but you may have to wait, you know. It depends on the popularity of the mm-hmm. item, but you go on a waiting list and it notifies you by email when the item becomes available. So, yeah, we'd be happy to help patrons sign up for a library card, download that app, learn how to use it, because that's a great service as well.
And hotspots.
The hotspots are a great item. And what they are is their mobile internet. So they are devices that are similar to the size of a cell phone, maybe a little bit smaller. And rechargeable, just like a cell phone. They connect to cell towers, and then they provide a wireless signal to phones, laptops, tablets, devices, up to 10 devices per wireless hotspot. And so you borrow those at no charge from the library for a two-week loan period. And if you're in your car and you have access to a cell signal, then you get free internet service.
So if you're going down the highway, if you're driving to Gatlinburg or driving to
Florida, yeah. We've had people take them up to the East Coast. You know, it depends on what the mm-hmm. cell signal service is. Yeah. So we can't guarantee that if you're in the middle of the mountains in Tennessee that you're going to get a great signal. Yeah. But for the most part, yeah, they work fantastic. Mm-hmm. They are
They'll bounce from tower to tower as you move along.
Yep. They run on a Sprint, which is now bought out by T-Mobile Towers. So the service is actually a little wider range than it used to be. Mm-hmm. You get a little bit more service coverage. But they connect, like I said, if everybody in my family wanted to be on it at one time, you can connect up to 10 different devices and use, you know, stream movies or mm-hmm. play online games or whatever without using your data. So the library has just purchased 10 additional hotspots, and so we now have 20 hotspots on our shelves for use by patrons with the Fort Recovery Library card.
That's good. So that means the original 10 were used quite a bit.
They were a hit. Now, some of those are coming to end of life. You know, they're like cell phones. They have to be replaced. So mm-hmm. I can't guarantee that we'll always have 10 on the shelf or 20 on the shelf. We do recommend that you reserve them in advance because, mm-hmm. especially during summer months, they are popular items.
Yeah, or Thanksgiving or Christmas.
Yep. Holidays, especially. Yep. We do hope to have them available for you when you need them. But again, like a book, we can't guarantee it. But they are wonderful service materials for patrons that, mm-hmm. They cost nothing for you to borrow.
Yep.
And like I said, they're 2-week loan periods, so you've got plenty of time to go on a vacation and come back and return it. So.
Yep. So let's take another break and come back. We'll talk about sort of how the library works and who's in charge and how do things happen at the library. So we'll be back in just a little bit.
Remember that scene in the Indiana Jones movie where the old knight tells him to choose wisely? Hi, I'm Connor Ramble with Fort Recovery Insurance. When it comes to insurance, choose wisely. Now, I'm not an old knight, but I do know insurance. From farms to factories to cars and ATVs, don't just spin the wheel and choose the first one that comes up. Insurance is too important not to have some local advice on what is wisest for you. FortRecoveryInsurance.com, your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group.
This is the first thing you hear after the power goes out. Silence. But that doesn't last very long. The next thing you hear is complaining. Then the inevitable whining. No TV, no power for laptops and tablets. How long do you think their cell phone will last without a recharge? How about your cell phone? Now's the time to call Reasoner Energy and talk about Generac generators. Not only do they operate quietly, a Generac generator from Reasoner will silence complaining and whining. Call 419-678-4858.
Lee Street Market always has great prices and great selection. Here are just a few items in their freezer section that'll help you save time and money. They have about a dozen varieties of Banquet and Michelina's frozen dinners for just $4 for $5. Packages of Hot Pockets are $2 for $5. They have 8-count packages of Best Choice Burritos for $4.99, and Banquet Pot Pies are $5 for $5. And they have many varieties of ready-to-heat-and-eat meals from Healthy Choice, Lean Cuisine, and P.F. Chang's. Stop in and check out their selection at Wayne Street Market, your hometown store that saves you more.
Season tickets for the 2021-2022 basketball season are being sold in the high school office from 7:45 a.m. to 4 p.m. on days that school is in session. Last year's boys' season ticket holders will have until Friday, November 19th to get their reserve seat season tickets. After November 19th, anyone not having a reserve seat or wanting a different seat for the boys' games can go to the high school office and see what seats are available for purchase. Season tickets for the boys' home games are $55 for reserve seats for adults, and student season tickets are $35. If children sit in the reserve seat area, they must also have reserve seat season tickets because all lower-level seats are reserve season tickets. Presale tickets for the boys' home games for adults and students are $7 each. Tickets at the door will be $8 each. And if you're 65 or older, they offer a senior citizen's annual all-sports pass for only $25. That's good for both boys' and girls' home, junior high, and high school games, but this does not include a reserved seat for the boys' home varsity games. Season tickets for the girls' home games are the same as for the boys, except there will be no reserved seats, $55 for adults and $35 for students. Tickets for the high school girls' basketball games will be $8 for both adults and students at the door, since there will be no presale tickets for the girls' games. For the junior high basketball games, they're selling a winter sports pass that's good for all girls and boys home basketball games and are $25 for adults and $10 for students. Tickets for the junior high girls and boys basketball games will also be available at the door and are $4 for both adults and students. Basketball season is coming soon, so get to the high school office now to get your basketball season tickets.
We're back. Insight. And we're talking now with Tony Lefevre from the library, talking about all kinds of stuff. How does the library work? Who's in charge? What happens? How many people work there? How does it run?
So we have a board of trustees that kind of helps make decisions, and I'd like to acknowledge because they give their time to volunteer. We have a great board of trustees: Ruth Webker, Jerry Stallman, Jack Diller, Julie Webker, Eric Kaiser, Allison Homan, and Kim Niekamp. And they kind of...
That's kind of an all-star cast.
That is an all-star cast. They are terrific people. And they do what they can to help make decisions that make the library run smoothly. Linda Niefeld is our library director.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have two other adult staff members, myself and Teresa West Curtis. And then we actually have two high school pages, put away books, kind of help with crafts, anything we need them to do. Jalen Bruns and Olivia Smith.
So those are two pretty good people, too.
They are two pretty good people. We really are happy. We have a great staff. And we all kind of do a little bit of everything. We don't really have defined roles other than Linda being the library director. We're a jack of all trades there at the library. We do circulation. We do story times. We do cataloging. So we kind of all just share responsibilities.
Yeah, when it's time to do something, whoever's there.
Whoever's available, willing to do it.
Yep,
gets the job. So overall, it's a pretty great place to work. We like it.
That's good.
Yeah.
And it's a great place to go in. I think we talked this afternoon when we were talking back in the old days when the library was in the museum, in just a little corner there. It wasn't, it was maybe 20% the size of what it is now. Anyway, it was just a little corner there. But it's always seemed to me like when I was a little kid that the people who worked there didn't want you touching their books. They didn't. They didn't want little kids touching their books. Those were their books, and they were afraid a little kid might put a smudge on one or something. So
yeah.
It's not exactly like that anymore. Use those books.
We try to be welcoming. We really do.
Yep.
We want the kids to be readers. We want them to love coming in, and sometimes. I have to speak for myself only, but I might be one of the loudest people in there. So the library is no longer a place where you always have to be quiet. You know, we're respectful, but, it's a great social gathering place. We have a lot of opportunity just to kind of interact with a lot of people in the community.
Yeah.
So,
and, use up the books because twice a year you have a used book sale.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. I forgot about that.
Yeah. And so you sell used books that are things that are being, I guess, cycled out of the libraries.
Sometimes there are items that are no longer circulated. You know, and it's really always hard as a staff member to take a book off the shelf because you don't want to, because you really realize how valuable they all are. But you have to make room for the new things coming, and we do have a limited space. So we try to just reassign or share the items that we have through the used book sale that are no longer regularly circulating. But we also take donations from the community.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you've got a library of your own and you realize it's time to kind of pare some things down or share some with others, we do take books that are in good used condition.
Mm-hmm.
We do not take magazines, dictionaries, or textbooks. Those are things that we have a really hard time reselling.
Yeah, so you end up putting them in a closet
till
the next sale.
Or trying to share them,
but drag them all back out and then put them all back again.
Yeah, we do take used videos, used children's books, chapter books, nonfiction, fiction, religious books, that kind of stuff. So mm-hmm. we always love donations at any time in the year. It doesn't have to be right when the used book sales are happening. But then again, the money, which since COVID, we've no longer assigned prices to the used books. It's just on a goodwill donation basis. And I forgot where I was going all of a sudden, Neil. I lost my train of thought.
Well, we were talking about the
book sale.
People being able to
you can donate
buy
materials.
Yeah, donate.
And then the money goes back into the library for different things that we need. And some of those things that we've purchased with that money has been either new books for the library, craft materials for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
With the Friends of the Library's help, we recently purchased new blinds. We've replaced carpeting. We've painted. We've just provided a lot of materials and upgrades to the library, partially because of the used book sale. Also, we do a membership drive every year. So you can be a member by donating money for your
member
family.
Of the Friends of the Art.
Friends of the Library.
Friends of the Library, yeah,
yep.
Sorry.
That's okay. The Friends of the Library donations that happen annually, and that money goes back into providing materials and programs for the library, too. So that's a great way to be involved. We do have meetings quarterly, so you're welcome to join the meetings, or you're welcome to just be, not just, because those financial donors mean a whole lot to us, but you can be a financial donor to the Friends of the Library, which supports our library as well. And we're pretty proud at this point in time. We have not needed to ask the community for a levy because of our friends, our very, very active Friends of the Library organization and the generosity of our community.
Mm-hmm.
So we just are super thankful.
Yeah. So it's just a really neat thing. So the Board of Trustees, you've mentioned them. You mentioned the employees. What are things besides becoming a friend of the library and helping mm-hmm. purchase or donate books for the sale, what can people do to help the library?
Sure. We do have some community volunteers that help lead story times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, magazines are still circulated. If anybody would like to donate some money toward magazine subscriptions, donations of time, we have help support with our fundraisers for the Friends of the Library, where we have groups of people who come in and help sort out school supplies for the kids for our school supply fundraiser, or to bake cookies for an event that we're having or an adult program. So there's a variety of ways to get involved that benefit the library and our community programs there.
Yeah, so if you're kind of thinking, I love this library, but I can't be a librarian, but because they have to have certain hours and I can't do that, but you can just stop and say, hey, what can I do to help you out sometime?
Yeah, donating craft supplies, anything like that. You know, we really appreciate what the community has done for us.
And I think there are some businesses that will donate subscriptions to magazines that have something to do with that type of business.
Yep.
Or
and I think the Fort Recovery Radio has donated some generous things to the library as well. Cards. We have not brought up our card playing that weekly. We do cards every Tuesday at 1:00. We have a group of community members that come up and play cards, and the Fort Recovery Radio has generously donated the decks of cards for that program.
I think
so
it costs us $2 each.
Well, we certainly appreciate it, because we do have a group of 8 or 12 people that come up, and that's their social time, and they have a lot of fun. on, and sometimes they'll play for 2 or 3 hours, and it's just, it's a great way to be involved. So to you, it may seem like something small, but it really is important.
And,
every
and
little
it keeps
thing.
Things going at the library. There's always somebody there doing something.
And that's what we're there for. You know, we're a community service. We're a public service.
And I notice people,
and we love it.
Almost every time I go in there, there are people using the computers. That's a good way. If you can't afford a computer at home, and you only need one occasionally.
We have computers, we have printing services, and it's a nominal fee to print papers there at the library. Just very small. We have Wi-Fi that's for guests that you can bring your own laptop or device in. There's tables upstairs you can, you know, use to get your own work done, or study group, or anything like that as well. So
before we shut down this part of it, let's go over again a couple of things that are real important coming up. Again, well, one of them's going on now, the book fair.
The Scholastic Book Fair,
So give us some quick details on that.
Sure. Again, the Scholastic Book Fair is an annual event sponsored by the Fort Recovery Friends of the Library, and it is new children's up to young adult books printed by the company Scholastic that are available for purchase this week, all through the week during our regular library hours, and then will be available Sunday during the community Christmas open house from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. And those books make great Christmas gifts. Every year, my kids would always be like, oh, this is from Mom. It's a book. And they're under the Christmas tree. But that's really important to me and my family to have some materials available for reading. So.
They might think that even after they open it.
Yeah.
But then a week or a month or something later, that's one of their favorite things.
We enjoy reading at my house.
Yep.
So, so the Scholastic Book Fair is currently going on. And then we also have the Fort Festival of Trees coming up here very soon that anybody can be a part of. And if you choose not to be part of it by putting a tree or wreath in, please stop by the library between December 6th and December 31st during library hours to come and view the Festival of Trees and to vote for your favorite for the People's Choice Award.
Yep, so almost 4 weeks of time when you can go in. And are they allowed to go in and just keep voting for their cousin's tree every day?
We don't keep track of votes. So, you know,
it's best not to cheat.
every man for himself, right? But I will say this year, I do believe that cookies on the weekends are coming back. We did not have cookies last year on the weekends. Yeah. And those are generously donated by our Friends of the Library members. But if you come Friday or Saturday to view the trees, then you might get a sweet treat.
You might get a cookie.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. So, anything else we want to throw out there before we...
Before
we go to Rocker?
Yeah. Rocker's got some great stuff. But we'd love for people to stop by the library, ask questions. You can sign up for... we have voter registration. You can sign up for a Golden Buckeye card. We have tech help. We have... just all kinds of resources online. We have, I forgot, our Friends of the Library a couple of years ago paid for all of the microfilm that we had to be digitized. So you can access some of the archives of the Fort Recovery Tri-County Record, Fort Recovery Times, the Fort Recovery Tribune, the Mercer County Observer. There's all kinds of old newspapers from the late 1800s and early 1900s that are scattered, but they're now searchable from your home computer or at the library.
And the Fort Recovery Journal, which is
my
all-time favorite.
You're right. And they can search them by names of people, dates. It's really kind of cool because from your home, you can see, okay, this is an advertisement for this former business from these old newspapers. You can crop pictures. You can print them off. And it's a searchable engine. So I could search for Spencer. And it would come up with any time the word Spencer is used in any of those newspapers. And there may be an article. It may be a birth announcement. It may be, you know, who visited who on a Sunday afternoon at, you know, after church. Because these old newspapers are really kind of cool like that.
Yep.
But that is an opportunity.
Especially Fiddler's Ridge.
Fiddler's
Ridge was in the Fort Recovery Journal. And it was the greatest article ever written.
It was a regular feature?
Yes. Every week. Linda Carrier wrote it. Fiddler's Ridge is somewhere down south of here, and always talked about somebody went motoring to Greenville with such and such person, and somebody went hunting, and the sentence structure was hilarious.
Yeah,
it was. You need to
I'll have to check that out.
Some of those, because they are...
It really is fascinating.
Extremely entertaining.
Yeah. I mean, it talks about what Sunday school raised money for so-and-so, and who came home from college, and whose sister came visiting. It's just really kind of a neat a neat service that we have. So
Just when you have a couple of months, just get every issue of Fiddler's Ridge.
Fiddler's Ridge.
It was in the Fort Recovery Journal up until the time the building burned. In 1973.
Okay.
So, unfortunately.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You always learn something new with Neil.
Yep. Yep. Except that's something old, but yeah.
Well, it's new to me.
So we've been talking with Tony about the library. Now we're going to take a little break and come back with Rocker and his, what do you have for us today?
On this date in pop culture history.
All right.
Well, thank you for having me this evening.
Oh, we're very happy to have you. Thank you very, very much. And get down to the library for the Scholastic Book Fair going on now and the Fort Festival of Trees starting December 6th till the end of the year. And we'll be back in just a minute or two with Rocker.
Bohr's Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Bohr's, where Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Bohr's Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Bohr's Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Need a better job where the benefits are great. A family-friendly company with competitive pay. Where people stop and greet me when they see my smiling face. Cooper Farms, it's more than a workplace.
We're offering $1,000 sign-on bonuses for maintenance and CDL drivers. To apply, visit CooperFarmsJobs.com. Cooper Farms, it's more than a workplace.
This is Chad Guggenbeller with CSG Consulting, Finance, and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. Has your business experience changed within your operation? Or maybe the place you banked with has seen the cultural change or the loss of a long-trusted officer or advisor? Now more than ever, you need a strategy and a plan of action in how to navigate this new season of business. Let me help with this plan. See me, Chad Guggenbiller, at 419-852-4049. CSG Consulting, your partner in planning.
Wow. The 2022 Win on the Wabash will be held August 26th and 27th, 2022, and will feature many different ways for you to be a winner. While Super Raffle tickets are sold out, tickets for the Friday night Tow and Go Raffle can now be purchased. The Tow and Go Raffle is a progressive style raffle, meaning the more tickets that sell, the more awesome prizes there will be to win. The top prize will be a 2022 Chevy Tahoe Z71 if all 3,000 tickets sell. Tickets can be purchased for $100 with 5 chances per ticket to win. Sales will begin at the Fort Recovery Christmas Open House on Sunday, November 14th. After that date, tickets will be sold online and at a variety of local businesses. Be sure to check out our website, wowraffle.com, for all the details and get your tickets for the 2022 Tow and Go Raffle to be a part of all the fun.
The Indians boys basketball team will be having their Meet the Team Tribe Night on Saturday night, November 20th. There will also be a dinner served in the Commons starting at 6 o'clock, and you can choose either a chicken or pork chop dinner. Tickets are $8 each and can be purchased from any boys basketball player by November 11th. Tribe Night is an inter-squad scrimmage with the junior high teams playing 2 6-minute quarters at 6 o'clock, followed by the JV playing 2 7-minute quarters, then the varsity playing 2 8-minute quarters. Make your plans now to get a preview of our boys' teams on Saturday evening, November 20th, starting at 6 p.m., and be sure to get there early for the chicken and pork chop dinners.
All right, we're back on Insight. We had Tony Lefevre from the library on earlier. Now we're going to Mr. Rocker Bonzavillian with his This Day in Pop Culture History. This date.
Thank you, Neil.
So November
10th? November 9th.
Oh, so we're doing yesterday.
Yeah.
That was by Paul McCartney.
This will be brief.
Beatles.
1620, pilgrims reach Cape Cod.
Oh.
Not exactly pop culture, but apparently...
Well, it's not this day in history.
1964.
Pop goes the pilgrims.
They're very good. 1964, My Fair Lady premieres...
Dick Van Dyke.
Starring Audrey Hepburn and Rex Harrison.
No.
Come on, Bill. I mean, Bob.
That was Mary Poppins.
Completely different.
Bill, apparently Bill is...
They're made, both English.
Apparently Bill did make the show. November 10th. Thank God. 1969, the first episode of Sesame Street airs on PBS.
Well then.
I wasn't around for that one, by the way.
I was around, but I don't think we had any PBS stations around here, and I was 20 years old, so there wasn't any reason for me to be watching that. Hmm?
16. Channel 16.
In 1969, it was on the air?
Muncie.
In 1969.
I was four.
I'll believe you.
I was a minus five.
I was 20, and I wasn't watching Sesame Street, so.
I wouldn't imagine. 1985, the first Microsoft Windows 1.0 was introduced.
Well, which year?
1985.
85. Hmm. That's one I still have on my laptop.
I kind of believe that, actually.
Doesn't work, but.
Well, no, yeah. A little obsolete. Celebrity birthday time.
Oh, boy.
Wait a minute. I got 19 years ago today, a tornado hit Van Wert.
Oh. Ooh. That's not good.
F4. Killed four.
Ooh. Took how many years ago?
Movie theater out.
Yeah, took,
19.
Did a bunch of damage up there.
Yeah.
All through that county, but mostly right in there. Yep, that wasn't good.
Birthdays.
Film and Broadway composer Tim Rice is 77.
Who?
Well-known Broadway composer, Tim Rice.
77.
You ever heard of me?
I've heard of him. Couldn't tell you any of the... Broadway
old funny face herself, Donna Fargo, is 75.
Funny face, I love you. Funny face, I need you. These are the sweetest words. Donna Fargo,
she's not that hot. And I thought she was actually dead, but apparently she's still alive.
Huh.
One Day at a Time star, Mackenzie Phillips, is 62.
She's dead. Overdose.
Close.
Did a lot of drugging.
Yeah.
Tracy Morgan is 53.
He
got taken out by a Walmart truck.
Yep.
I drive a fast car. Tracy Chapman.
It's not Tracy Morgan.
Ellen Pompeo of Grey's Anatomy is 52.
Who is?
Ellen Pompeo.
Oh. Happy birthday.
Heavenly birthday.
And
ooh.
Brian Seyfried.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that. Yep.
My sister-in-law, Nancy, turned, I believe, 69 today.
Nancy! Right.
Yep.
You listening?
Probably not.
You can tell her, and she can listen in the archives.
She got a shout.
So, Tim Rice collaborated with Andrew Lloyd Webber, and their notable works included... Evita.
Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoats.
Nope, Evita, which was, I think Madonna did that or something. Jesus Christ Superstar.
Jesus Christ Superstar. Who are you?
Who do you think you are?
Something like that.
Yeah. Those aren't exactly the lyrics that Tim Rice wrote, but that's okay.
Boys, what do we have on Sports Talk tonight?
Sports.
Are you segueing in?
Yeah.
Try my best.
We got a lot.
Bart Starr making an appearance. Aaron Rodgers, since he's, you know, apparently not playing.
He has to wear his mask in here.
Yeah.
We will.
Yeah.
Well, boys, if you If you're ready to go, I am. I'm out of here.
Well, that's been insight. And we didn't have a whole lot to really give Rocker much grief about tonight on his. We got to come up with better stuff.
We still got another hour and a half.
Yeah. We'll be back in just a minute or two with Sports Talk, Bubba and Fee.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show was being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.